Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, peeps, I'm super excited. I've got a repeat guest. His name is Paul B. Evans, and he's with Evans Communications. And the guy is a dynamic speaker, and he's a bacon brother from another mother. So, Paul, how are you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Brian.
Outstanding. So what I like to do is give people a little bit of your origin story. And we've talked last time about how you worked in the fitness industry and how you ran health clubs. Is there anything that maybe you want to add to that to let people know where you came from and now become this great motivational speaker and coach and stuff like that?
You know, every time I hear motivational speaker, I laugh because it's always a little bit of a mix of encouragement and then getting beat up at the same time.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like it's strategic motivation. But, you know, when it comes to just owning a business and it comes to making sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to stay on the right path, that's really my focus, and everything that I do is to help us as business owners and as individuals just simply become better. It's not always about, at least to me, achieving the upper echelon, highest level, dominating my niche throughout the world, but it does mean that I'm going to make sure that everything that I'm doing in my business is going to be absolutely the best that I can produce and is going to create a great experience for my clients.
Outstanding. So, Paul, today I wanted to talk a little bit about messaging and unifying messaging. One of the things that I've seen in working with companies, you know, especially on the LinkedIn side of things, is, man, they're all over the place. I mean, you've got some people that have no pictures. You got some people that have different, you know, one person is called the salesperson. Another person is called, you know, the creator of wealth or, you know, whatever. They're all over. And then you've got the management team and the marketing team. They're just all coming at it from different places. So what are some of the things that companies and people need to think about in creating a cohesive brand message for their company?
I think the first step overall is to realize that most people are looking at our businesses, our companies, through fresh eyes. They may not know much about us. They have not done their research. They can only take it at face value. And what we tend to do is work a little bit in silos, as the popular term has been used, to create our own specific division of language and our division of roles that may not match the rest of the company at all. And so what happens is when someone comes in and they begin to learn about us, they'll notice how disjointed it is. So the first thing to say is, can we create a precise or a like language throughout all of the elements of our company, not just for our sake of internal communication, but so we don't confuse people when they come in and see us? If we don't know what we're talking about, if we don't know what we are communicating, there's absolutely no way on the planet that our clients are going to be able to distinguish it.
So then, you know, so we're trying to get that message. What are some of the ways that you bring people together? What are the ways that teams can start to develop that as a cohesive package?
Well, I think that you have to adopt right off the bat, and this seems old school, but we've got to adopt what our mission and our vision statements are. Not a statement that is written to impress the masses. A statement that is written to create a clear direction for the company itself. You know, what would a company write to itself? It's rarely these gigantic 3 or 4 paragraph statements that are filled with all of this flowery language. Instead, it would be super tight, it would be precise, everybody would understand it, and everybody would get on board with it. And so from the mission, the vision statement, come the rest of our language so that we begin on the same page for the future and for the present, and then we decide what that's going to look like within each major department so that we have a like-minded filter in place that will automatically say, yeah, this is good. Nope, that's not going to fit. and it puts us all on the same page.
But often you find, and I've seen this numerous times, okay, you've got, you know, IT speaks a completely different language. Marketing speaks a completely different language. Sales, and even inside of the sales, the different organizations within a sales team speak a different language. Management speaks a different language. How do you get them all to sit down at the table and start to do that? What are some of the vehicles or things that you recommend to kind of make that happen?
Well, there are a couple of options. One is that you put each department in charge of their own languaging, and the rest of the company begins to adopt it, as long as it doesn't go against the mission, vision, and core values, things along those lines. And then the rest of the company just adopts it. That's one option. The better option to me is that either the language is created for the company and everybody adopts it, or you have something along the lines of a full-day retreat where there's a language creation process. Because the truth is, the marketing department, the IT department, the accounting department, all of these are going to have their own language, and usually it's the language of textbooks. It's the language that has been passed down within that specific sector forever. So the question is, can we come together and create new terminology? Whether that means that the company is going to have more of a lighter feel and a fun feel, or if it's going to be a lot more professionally filled, then you decide together on that language. Now, you and I both know, coming from a marketing background, that the products that tend to do the best are the products who have created their own language. I can't remember if we talked about this last time or not. I've got a process called Five Stones Goal Setting, so it's an achievement product. Well, I have different levels in that: your milestone, your cornerstone, your stepping stones, etc. Now, what happens is when clients turn in their assignments or their homework, they use my language. They'll say, here's my milestone. They don't say, here's my goal. They say, here's my milestone. How come? Because I train them in my language that I actually created. So when it comes to our companies, we have every right to do that. And the big positive of it is that creating our own cultural language within our company is going to bring more cohesive to the company, and it's also going to create a greater clarity outside of the company. Now, does that mean that we might have to explain some of our terms? Sure, but once people get it, they're now on the inside. They now feel like they are part of the company. Take Apple. When they began with the word iMac, iPhone, iPad, well, the first time that I came out, that was a brand new language. Nobody understood that. It didn't take long for them to get it and what it meant, and now it's part of everyday language and culture, and has been part of the move that allowed Apple to separate itself from everybody else on the planet.
So you've seen companies go through this exercise, and what are some of the, you know, after they've gone through the exercise, what are some of the downfalls, the pitfalls, the biggest mistakes that you've seen people make in going through this?
There's a couple of things. One is just getting through the process, just surviving the process, because there's a lot of ego, there's a lot of territorial aspects that come with building communication that flows throughout the company. And so that's going to be the first challenge, is going to be the ego. The second challenge, once it's developed, that is going to take place is true adoption. So you put the message to the marketplace, or even you just put the message within the divisions, and somebody doesn't like it. And somebody doesn't think it feels right, or somebody doesn't think it sounds right, or somebody, you know, gives it a negative connotation. And it's easy to not give it enough time to get anchored before it becomes either discarded at worst or compromised sometimes at best. And so the real key is to recognize that ahead of time, make the plan, determine how long you're going to put it in play before you can gather enough data to determine if the current terminology and the current processes are working or not working.
Love it. Now, the last question I have is, occasionally when you do things like this, I mean, culture change in any organization, even a one-person organization, is tough. But occasionally you'll run into somebody who is, you know, just says that they agree, and then they turn into the sabotagee. You know, it's like, they agree with it, but then they kind of like undermine it. How do you deal with that kind of situation?
First is to hopefully you can recognize that to begin with, that you know that they've got a pattern of that, let's say. And if you know that they've got a pattern of it, and you've seen this happen a thousand times, and because I tend to be strong-willed, I've had this done unto me. And that is that you go to the one that could be non-supportive, and you tell them, hey, we're going to be working on something that's a little bit private right now, but your support's going to be critical. So you kind of turn the naysayer into a leader. And that works, I would say, 80% of the time. 10% of the time, there's nothing you can do. And the other 10% of the time, they're still going to say something, but you can kind of rein them in and redirect them. So when you've got somebody that's going to really be undermining, hopefully you can catch it ahead of time. If you can't, then you have to decide how strong you're going to be. And it could be very light, where you say, you know what, we all agree at the meeting this is what we're going to do. We've got some undercurrent here. I've discovered that you seem to be the source of that. What do you think we should do about it? How do you think we should handle this going forward? And you give them an opportunity to contribute to the new direction that they're about to be on. The ultimate negative would be them saying, well, I just don't like it, and I'm never getting on board. And then the decision's made whether this person's role is critical enough for them to remain. So that's always a hard call over something like communication or languaging, but it can come to that because all you need is one or two players or those that are influencers to not get on board, to give other people permission to not get on board as well.
So, Paul, I know you have a lot of resources for people, and you have something that maybe you'd like to offer my audience and my peeps to kind of get to know a little bit more about how to grow themselves, grow their businesses. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Over at Paul B. Evans, B as in boy, paulbevans.com. Right when you get on the site, there are a couple of things there. One is called 20 Steps to Achieve Anything. So you know, basically it's a PDF that leads you through a process of connecting with things that are going to help you stay motivated, stay focused, get more done in less time. The other thing that's on the page there is called Live on Purpose. And it's a framework that really leads you through body, beliefs, and business. Because the stronger our body is, the stronger our beliefs are, the stronger our business is going to be. So if you're listening and you're a leader, or you know, if you are an employee and you want to make sure that you're doing the best job possible, then that framework, which is absolutely free, will lead you through 12 modules. That's a lot of free training now that I think about it, and body, beliefs, and business. It will really help you focus and do your best work.
Awesome. So, Paul, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I would say just coming online there at paulbevans.com, and you can either use the contact form that's there, or you can just email me, paul@paulbevans.com.
Well, Paul, as usual, we didn't get enough time to talk about bacon because that's one of your favorite subjects, one of my favorite subjects. So, and that's why I call you my bacon brother from another mother. But it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. I love having you on the show, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.